We're going to talk about this this Snowflake IPO that's coming up, right? It's a big IPO. It's one of the biggest IPOs in years. And what this IPO is that it's what's called a cloud data company, right? A lot of people don't understand what this is. So let's just talk about first what it is. Then we're going to talk about how IPOs work. Then we're going to discuss the great opportunities that may exist in this particular stock that's going to debut on the stock exchange this week, right? So first thing, let's talk about what Snowflake is, because a lot of people are confused about what they do, but let's talk about it. Well, Snowflake is what's called a big data company. A lot of people have heard that term. A lot of people have heard the term. They don't know exactly what it means. They don't understand what this term means. Well, let's talk about what big data means. You guys know I come from technology, so I understand tech stocks more than anything else. So big data is simply analyzing, storing, and performing analysis and storing huge amounts of data for predictive purposes or archiving purposes, right? People say, what does that mean, right? So you got a bunch of data. What does that mean? Well, people don't understand the importance and the seriousness, the importance, the true value of data, right? You go back 20 years ago, databases and information systems didn't evolve to the point we could track everything, right? So you basically could track somebody's birthday, you know, their height, weight, you know, use stuff like that. We didn't have enough data points to predict behavior. But now, in the last 5 years, you guys have noticed something is happening. A lot of people have noticed some things that are happening, right? So what you've noticed is that you will turn on Hulu and there'll be a commercial about something you just talked about. Or you'll get on Netflix or YouTube, and all of a sudden you're thinking about going to Disney, and for some reason Disney's on the screen, and you think, how did they figure that out? How could they? Are they listening to me? No, they're not listening to you. And it's simple, it's big data, because they can predict your behavior based on the data points they get from it. It's pretty easy, and I'll tell you why, right? Because if I wanted to predict somebody's behavior, right? So you gotta understand, humans think that they're unique. Humans think that they're the only people doing this type of things, but you gotta understand is that most people have lived lives like this before. Some people, if you wanna predict where I'm gonna be in 5 years, with most things, you know, you may not get it exactly, but you can figure out most things. Just find a dude 5 years older than me that came from where I came from, that studied the same thing I studied, that had the same life trajectory as I did, and odds are you'll be able to figure out what I'm going to do in the next 5 years, right? Because you've used those data points. But how are you going to figure out these? You have to have as many data points as possible. You have to have as many as possible. And that's what these big data companies provide. That's why all the stocks are going up in big data companies. That's why all the value of big data is getting bigger. That's why Amazon, why do you think Amazon's in big data? I mean, they sell stuff on e-commerce. Why would they do it? Because there's value in it, right? Why do you think Google's putting so much money into big data? Because there's value in data, right? So let's talk about how IPOs work. And you guys can ask questions along the way. It's okay, I'll answer them. So for those who don't know what IPO is, right? So an IPO, for those of you who have listened to my last podcast, we talked about exit strategies, right? We talked about exit strategies. And you guys don't understand how deep this goes. So this goes pretty deep, right? So you guys don't understand how deep this goes. So let's talk about what IPOs are. IPOs are a type of exit strategy. And you hear people saying, what? How is it a type of exit strategy? What are you talking about? What are you saying, right? Because these people, no, man. When I tell you guys you got to get out of the stocks, when I tell you guys you have to exit your businesses, when I tell you guys, you can't just hold on to something forever. You gotta have an exit strategy. Well, IPOs are a type of exit strategy, right? And people say, well, what do you mean it's a type of exit? You know what? No, it's because people that are building a business, right? This is how IPO works. You have a company, it's private. Private companies can only seek money from certain types of investors, accredited investors. Venture capitalists, they can do it for friends and family. That's legal too. But you can't go out and ask for people on social media to give you money. You know, that's illegal. Most people don't know that. If I put a post up, say, hey man, starting this company, I need a bunch of people to give me money. And I'm not registered with the SEC. That's illegal. You can go to jail for that. That's securities fraud. Most people don't realize that. I see some people on Instagram doing that type of thing. And I'm like, man, look, I said, you know, you guys are doing things that may be illegal. and you don't even realize it. But you can only seek money from certain types of people when you're a private company. If I own a pizza shop down the street, now I can't go ask for money on the internet for my shop. That's illegal. Now I can get it from friends and family. I can get it from venture capitalists, but I can't get it from the general public. But as my company grows, I can seek out new venture capitalists, new friends and family. But then it comes to the point where you can't get enough money to grow your company to where you know it can be. So what do? You have to do what's called going public. That gives you the right to ask the public for money. And in turn, you sell them parts of your company, shares. And for those who have taken my one-on-one class, you know that stocks are simply ownership shares in a company. That's what you're buying, that's what you're selling. Ownership share in a company, right? So in an IPO, that's the first time they offer parts of that company to the public. That's the first day, which is Wednesday for Snowflake. That's the first day they're gonna offer it to us, right? But you have to understand is that that's a form of exit strategy for the owners. Because let's say you own 100% of the company, company's going up rapidly. Now you got all the risk on your side. Well, you know what, anything can happen, right? That's what I'm telling you guys to understand, that how deep this goes with the elites, how deep this goes with the people who got money, how deep this goes with the rich. They don't hold on to stuff. Who can't? Okay, they don't hold on to stuff. They get rid of it. They get off some, they call it getting some of it off the table. You can't have all your money into some stock hoping and begging, oh, come on, man, please go up. You can't do that. You have to be able to get some out. Who could be up 800% in a stock and then take a dollar out? That's ridiculous. That's what the rich don't do that. The poor do it for some reason, which I don't understand. I don't even understand why, but the poor will hold on to something. Rich people sell it immediately. They get out of it. And that's what an IPO is that they get to shift some of the risk to the public. And maybe, you know, they can get, you know, that's not bad, right? Shifting risk is not bad. Taking something out of it is not bad. That's what you're supposed to do as a businessman. You're supposed to get the risk off you and get some cash in. That's what you're supposed to do. So what they do is a form of an exit strategy. They say, look, we own 100% of this company, or 90%, because they probably sold something privately. They said, man, we got to get some of this risk off us. I can't hold on to this company forever. I need to be a millionaire. I need to be a billionaire. So I'm going to sell some right now to the public. And then I'll keep some too. I'll keep a lot of it, but I'm going to sell some to make sure I have my money, to make sure I'm not out on this, to make sure I'm not going to be left holding the bag. They sell some of their stocks to you. IPO is a form of cashing out, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's what you're supposed to do as a business person, right? That's a way that they get the risk off of them. It's an exit strategy. That's exactly what it is. Right, it's a way that they cash out, give the risk to you, and then, you know, in an ideal situation, everybody ends up making money. But that's cool, right? But it's a way to shift the risk to you, so they can get some of that money out. The rich and the elite don't risk all their money. The rich and the elite don't do that. Poor people do it for some reason. I know some people that had Hertz when it was going up, didn't sell nothing, up 700%, didn't sell a dollar, and then it crashed all the way down, lost their money. Right? So IPO is a form of getting out, right? That's a form they can get capital. It's not always by getting out, but mostly it is. But it's also, they can get capital for business operations. They can get their name out there. So it's a big process, right? But they have to, in order to do that, they have to be approved by the SEC. The SEC is the Security and Exchange Commission. And what they do is that they monitor and they regulate all, you know, sales of publicly traded stocks. The SEC, right? So they have to go through a long process. They have to do all this stuff. And then on the day of IPO, they start selling it to the general public. Well, the thing about it is that people, like regular people, I tried to get in on this pre-IPO. I didn't know about Snowflake. I didn't know about Snowflake until about 3 weeks ago. So I called I wrote my broker email. I said, hey man, can you get me in this Snowflake IPO? They're like, nah, it's sold out. It's sold out. You know, you can't get into that. I was like, oh man. But because I knew it was going up, but it's too late now. But so I got to buy it with the public, right, on Wednesday, hopefully. So when a stock opens up IPO like that, what happens is that the stock opens and they set an opening price, which it was $75. Now it's $110. So that tells you they think it's going to blow up. They already raised the price, right? Warren Buffett's already in. Salesforce is already in. So This is gonna be a problem, and then there's risk with this, right? Because I think Snowflake is gonna be a very, very powerful company in the coming months. But there's always risk. So we gotta talk about the risk. I wouldn't be doing my job by helping you guys, by showing you guys, by teaching you guys, if I didn't teach you about risk. Because everybody, all these other people that teach about stocks, all over the internet, all over Instagram, they always talk about, oh my God, you're going to get rich. Nobody ever talks about risk. And I feel like that we should talk more about risk, because risk is always there. Even when the stock's up, you got risk. Even when it's down, risk is always there. We have to know how to manage it, right? So I think that Snowflake's going to be a 200-300%, go up 200-300% in the next year. That's what I think. But the thing about it is that I don't know how it's going to work. Or I can only tell you that's going to happen. It may happen the first week. It may happen the first 2 weeks. It may happen, over 3 months. I don't know. And what could happen is it could go up and go right back down in 2 weeks. I'm not saying it's going to stay up. I'm not saying, it's going to keep going up. I don't know. Because there's two things that can happen, right? Is that when stocks go up that fast, people always sell off. They always sell off. And the second thing is that they raise their offer to 100. And sometimes I've seen that in the past when it's the company getting greedy. That's what happens, is that they start off at 75 and they say, look, we're going to raise it to 100. They get greedy. And sometimes, they just came out with this, right? I said it was going to go up 200% before that. But now I'm starting to worry, because companies that normally do that, start getting greedy like that, is that they end up killing their own stock. And to be honest, they don't care, long as they get their money. That's the thing about, the underhanded part of stocks that the average person does not know, is the company will dump on the retail people. The company will dunk. The shares have two levels. They got the preferred and they got the normal shares. We all, on the stock market, we all buy the normal shares. We don't buy the preferred shares. So they'll dump on you, they'll disrespect you, they'll sell it, they'll do all of that stuff. So it's very important to manage that risk, because we don't know what they're going to do, right? They already raised the price. They're already getting greedy. And I don't like that. That's one thing I don't like about Snowflake. They raised the price. It was 75. Now they raised it to 100. Now you're like, man, by the time we actually, you got to remember, when IPO opens, we're not going to be the ones that buy it. The insiders buy it first. And that's another thing people don't realize about IPO. So on Wednesday morning, it opens up, you can't buy. Because somebody has to sell it, because they don't just put it on the stock market. They buy, they sell their stock to certain people who are already on the list to buy the stock. So they buy it, and then we can't buy it to one of those people sells it on the market. And it normally takes a while. Sometimes you can't even do it the first day. Sometimes you can't do it for the first 2 hours. But you don't know. You have to, you have to be careful, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen. So we may not be able to get into it till about 12 o'clock, if probably later, unless somebody starts selling it early, which normally takes a while. But it's opening at 110. Are they going to sell it to those people at 110? So, nah, Relentless Mike is not illegal. That's what I'm telling you, man. Some of this stuff, stocks are a great way to build wealth. But it, to be honest, it's kind of geared toward the super rich. So you have to understand these laws, these rules, how things work, so you can maneuver in this environment, right? It's not, no, what they do, the first thing IPO do is they got a list of people who get the IPO before anybody else. And that's who they sell it to. Now those people have to turn around and sell it on the market. And that's when we can buy it, right? We're not on that list. So we may not get it until and the crazy thing about those people, when it's a hot IPO, they buy and just sell it to us. They make guaranteed money. It's guaranteed money in most cases. They buy it for 110, by the time they sell it, it's gonna be like 120, 130 because of the hype, and then they cash out. So that's the crazy thing about how the market works. You have to understand that it's not geared toward us, right? And we don't have a lot of control, but that's okay. Now, Martha Stewart went to jail because she traded on insider information. It's not the same thing. She traded on insider information. That means that she knew somebody called her and said, hey, man, the stock's about to drop. Then she sold it. Can't do that. That's illegal. But what this is something different. What this is that we got a question. So you're saying when a startup raised money via Kickstarter, Indigo crowdfunding, that's illegal. No, if you look at how Kickstarter is set up, it's not the same. You don't see, this is the different thing. It's not an investment because you're just giving them the money. That's not the same thing, right? You're just giving them the money. You can't expect nothing in return. Maybe a product or something, but they're not going to say, look, it's only illegal when you say, give me money and I'm going to give you a piece of the company back as an investment. That's the only way it's illegal. Now, Kickstarter, you're just giving them money because you like the product. That's legal. That's crowdfunding. It's not investment. You know, that's crowdfunding. That's a different thing. So let's move on, right? So the thing about it is, so Snowflake's going to go IPO here. And they have some competition out there. It's weird about their competition, too. They have some competition, Amazon Web Services, Windows. They got Microsoft Azure and Google Cloud. Those are their three. If you guys don't know what those are cloud solutions for web services, data housing or whatever. But the crazy thing is that Snowflake's entire infrastructure is built on those two, three of those services. So their company couldn't exist without Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. That's kind of funny. And that's kind of funny, right? So, like I said, we got Warren Buffett's in it. We know Salesforce is involved. So there's a bunch of things we can do. There's a bunch of things we can do to get in on this IPO, right? And like I said, there's never one. People always want me to tell them one strategy, exactly what to do. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I could go ahead and do stuff. Sometimes I have to sit back and react to what's happening. Sometimes you have to be patient, like we did this morning. If you guys remember, on last night's live, I told you about Salesforce. I told you about Oracle. And I said, you should wait. I said, patience is a virtue. You have to wait. You can't just jump on stuff. And the crazy thing is, some people still did it and ended up losing money. I said last night, look, and for those of you who have taken my classes, for those of you who have taken specifically the momentum class, a lot of you guys waited because you knew what to wait for, right? That's what made that. And like I said, we didn't make no money, but we saved a lot of money. And that's a win in itself. Saving a lot of money is a win. You know, and a lot of you guys who took that momentum class, a lot of you guys who taken my classes, you saw that. You saw that unfolding. Like you knew not to jump on that. But a lot of people wrote me and said, oh man, I jumped on it after they heard the entire live. We talked about this last night. We said that if those things doesn't happen, that's why it's so important for you to take classes from somebody. It may not be me, go find somebody. There's other people on Instagram that are good. But you can go on YouTube and get most of the stuff free. There's a whole bunch of things you could do. But the thing about it is that if you don't pay the $20, $30 for a class somewhere, you're gonna pay in thousands. That's how you're gonna learn. You're gonna learn one way. You're gonna learn, but it's gonna be with due money. You're gonna lose a lot of money learning, mistakes and learning. You'll figure it out eventually, but it's gonna cost you thousands as opposed to 100, you know? And that's what we talked about last night. We said, look, it's a great opportunity. It could be possibly a wonderful opportunity, but we have to wait. We have to wait. We cannot just jump on stuff, right? What happened? What happened is that they halted the stock. First of all, it was dropping anyway. So we had to wait for recovery. That's what caused, we had to calm down. We had to wait for recovery, but it halted the stock. And what happened is that Oracle, the news was, that Oracle put out news, misleading news. So what happened, somebody wants to know what happened. Why did Oracle stop trading this morning? Well, what happened is that when a stock has unusual activity like Oracle did this morning, it was about to explode, right? It was about to explode. What happened is that the SEC felt like that they put out misleading news. Because what it seemed like to the news is that they bought TikTok. That's what everybody kind of assumed. And then as the night unfolded, as that morning unfolded, you come to realize all they're doing is just housing the data. That's not an acquisition. That's not buying. That's just like a partnership, right? That's a partnership. And they presented it like it was an acquisition. So of course everybody's gonna try to buy the stock. So in order to kind of help the people, like help people and stop people from buying into something like that, they halted it, waited till the news got out, then they let it come back. It was misleading. And companies do that all the time. You gotta be careful. That's why patience is so important. But like I said, Oracle got halted. The people who took my classes, they knew what to watch. They knew what to wait for, and we saved money. And remember, saving money is just as good as losing, because we could have lost a lot of money. We could have lost a lot of money, but we knew what to wait for. We knew what to wait for. And a lot of people, that's what's crazy too, is a lot of people jumped on it. Like, and that's what I can't understand, man. And like I said, you gotta be patient with this stuff. Like people, like you only had about 20 minutes to jump into Oracle anyway. And I don't know, people still bought it. After we talked, we had the entire hour yesterday. We spoke about how this is gonna play out, how to play it, how to watch what's gonna happen, and when not to jump in. And people still text me this morning. I jumped in. I was like, I was watching you live last night. I jumped in. I was like, didn't we talk about this? Like, I just don't understand it, man. Like, but you know, some people just, but it, like people make their own decisions. So it's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, it's like, I mean, that's crazy, man. Yeah. So like I said, and there's 100 other stocks. Actually, Tesla would have been a good call, an option for a call today. Tesla's going up. And the reason why Tesla's going up is because everybody's expecting battery day to come up. And I, like I said, I had a friend today, and he bought some call options on NIO. And because NIO had a good earning, I mean, I don't know. I'm just going by what he said. He said that NIO had a good earnings call. So he bought after the call. You guys got to remember is that a lot of times, once the news is already out, the stock's not going to keep going up unless it's amazing news. Most of the stock's rise happens leading up to the news. It's a phenomenon called buy on the rumor, sell on the news. Is that most people that are, like we talked about, the levels of money, this is my opinion, it's like you got the wild money, you got the retail smart money, and you got very smart money, right? So the people that are smart money and up, they sell on the news. They buy on the rumor, sell on the news. That's what they do, right? So the other people, they don't, you know, they buy after. They get dumped on after the news is already out, right? So once the battery day comes up, so it'll be a, like we talked about yesterday, you'll see some, it'll be leading up to it. It'll be kind of like some momentum going upwards, leading up to battery day. And then once the battery day comes, it may tank down because there's no reason to hold the stock anymore. So let's go back to what could happen with Snowflake, right? So Snowflake, we can buy it on IPO day as soon as we can. But there's risk to that, right? There's two risks. Is that sometimes IPOs, because they raise the price, sometimes it kills the hype. Because people are like, oh man, $120, it was $75, I'm not buying it. Sometimes it kills it. The second thing that could happen is it can go up 300-400% the first week, which is a good possibility, right? But I don't think with this one it'll go up that fast, but it could. The third possibility is that even though it's a great stock, even though Warren Buffett's in it, even though Salesforce is in it, the whole market could fall. And that's something that you can't control, right? It's another thing we can't control, is that if the whole market falls, then it's nothing you can do anyway. Like all these stocks gonna lose 20-30%. So that's something that could affect this, right? So, you know, you still gotta be careful. You still gotta practice patience. You still have to make sure this is the right decision if you choose to do it. All right, so we got to go. So I'm definitely signing up for a momentum class because your girl lost $3,000 on a split. I'm sorry about that. But like you guys said, I still have the momentum. I still have the mentorship program. So we have the second round table this Wednesday. So if you guys are interested in the mentorship program, what that is that you get all the live classes, you get all the free classes. I'm sorry, you get the live and recorded class, and you also get access to the roundtable, which is every 2 weeks where we discuss general wealth building strategies. It's not just stocks, it's not just investing, but we also talk about how to increase your income. And we discuss actionable ways that you can increase your income, because the more money you have coming in as income, the more you can invest, the more you can put in real estate, the more you can put in stocks. And that's how you drive real wealth. That's how you drive real wealth. And there's 4 or 5 people, maybe 10 people on this live right now that are in the mentorship program. They are in it. They're already doing good. They're already, you know, making money. Some of them are already, you know, taking advantage of a lot of things we talk about. So I can do another momentum class next week, but you can also buy, there's an $85 package out there. If you click the link in my bio, there it is. You can click that. And you'll get all the recorded classes. But if you do the mentorship program, you get to record it, all of them. You get, including the momentum class. You get all of that. Yeah, so if I purchase shares of Snowflake, I'll post it on Monday or Wednesday or Thursday. So if I do it, I'll post it. And another thing I'm working on too, so a lot of people have asked me about signals and a private chat room. So I'm probably going to do that. Mentorship people get it at no charge. But if people want, you know, I'm probably going to do that here pretty soon. I'm probably going to do that maybe over this next week. So whenever I see like certain stocks, certain opportunities, I'll put it in there. And we'll just talk. We'll just talk all day about stocks, because a lot of times if everybody's together and connected, we can drive each other to greatness, right? And that's what I want to make sure we're all, you know, there for. So if somebody wants to join in that and they're not in the mentorship program, we'll come up with like a nominal price for that, maybe like $4 or $5 a week or something. I don't know. But we're probably gonna start that here this week, right? I'm probably gonna do it on Telegram because I like Telegram a lot. And like I said, if you're in the mentorship program, everything that I do, I'll throw it in. So I want to make sure the people in the mentorship program get the full value. Whatever they're paying, I want to make sure they get everything that they paid for, right? And more, and much, much more. But I'm starting that probably here pretty soon. Probably this week, probably. Because a lot of people have asked about it. I just haven't had time. Another thing about it, this is off subject here, but you guys know that I do. I'm a tech entrepreneur. That's what I am, right? And I know a lot about stocks because I built stock applications. I built cryptocurrency applications, stock applications over the years. Even before cryptocurrency, I did a lot of work in stock picking applications, right? I won an award for it up in New York at a Benzinga a few years ago. And that's when I met that one guy. I've been on the NASDAQ trading floor. I met, what's the guy that's on Shark Tank? The bald headed one, Larry something. I met him one time at one. We got honorable mention though. We didn't get the award, but he was there that time. But back to what I was saying is that it's something I'm going to announce. I haven't told everybody yet, but my company won. There was an award that IBM was giving out, a nationwide award for all the applications that are written in response to the COVID crisis. So we have a company called HireMatch. HireMatch is a decentralized recruitment platform. So after Corona crisis, after the COVID crisis, we repurposed that application so that we can service people who have lost their jobs after the COVID crisis, right? Because a lot of people are out of work, a lot of people are suffering. So we have an application we refocused for that purpose, right? So we won a nationwide award from IBM, which is going to release the press release this week. For that application. So it's a huge award, right? And like I said, I'm the only one of color that's in that list. It's five companies, and IBM is gonna give us their marketing team. They're gonna give us they're gonna let us use their blockchain engineers, their software engineers. We're gonna have access to IBM because we're actually partnering with IBM now. So IBM is our partner now in this application, right? So we have the press release is coming out probably this week from IBM. And when that comes out, I'll show you guys. I'll put it on my Instagram so you guys can see it. But that's what I do most. That's what my days are filled with, right? That's what I do. So sometimes I get behind on some of this, other tech, the finance stuff. But now, now that we got that out of the way, because we were working with IBM a lot over the last, remember I told you guys I was working on a big project? That's what I was doing. So we actually won the award. So whenever that press release comes out, I'll post it on my Instagram and let you guys take a look at that. But, and like I said, in that field, I don't see nobody of color. And that's why I give these free tech classes so much. Like I said, I don't even charge for those. I just do them free. I got another one coming next week. It's because there's nobody of color in this stuff. The thing about it is that we couldn't have a real award ceremony because we were supposed to fly there. We were going to receive the award and all this stuff. We couldn't do it. We had to do it online, right? So I'm looking at all the people that got, nominated and stuff, the whole screen of the Zoom, all nobody of color, nobody except me. That's it. And that's what I'm saying. That's what's so important is that I want to make sure that we get more people of color, because that tech industry is what pulled me out of poverty. And that's a story that I want to talk about before I leave. Is that When I grew up in poverty, right? And the thing about it is that people always say no, they're the first person in their school, first person in their family to go to college. Well, you got to remember, when I grew up, I never even met anybody ever that went to college. Nobody that graduated. They graduated. I had two aunts that were actually in college. They didn't finish. But I knew nobody. I never met anybody. The day I stepped into college, prior to that, I never met anybody that went to college. I didn't even know. The thing about when I first got into college, I didn't even know how to act. I thought I was supposed to like sit there and like, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sir, professor. I didn't know because I knew nothing about that. But, after about the first, second day, I realized it. But the first day, man, I was nervous. I was around people that I didn't feel like I was supposed to be there. I was nervous. I felt like out of place. I felt like everybody was better than me. Like, this, I'm just a dude I was in the country at that point. But just let's say the projects, because I was in the projects. But now I don't even have a dad. My mom was a janitor at the school. I didn't feel like I worked, like I was supposed to be there. But when I got out of college, I took computer science, got out of college. Now, my first experience with stocks was at my second job out of college. I worked in Nashville for a while, and I moved down to Florida. So I took a job here at an insurance company writing software. So I sit down at my desk the first day, and it's this dude in front of me. I wish he was listening because he actually changed my life. It was like 14, 15 years ago. So the dude, about 13, 14 years ago. So the dude was like, hey, Armando, man. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Dorian. He was an older white dude. He's about 60 at a time, so he's probably like 70-something now. And so he comes and he shakes my hand and everything, whatever. And then one day I'm like looking around the cubicle and I see him doing something on the screen with all these numbers and like these companies. I'm like, man, what are you doing, man? He's like, man, I got these stocks, man, these stocks. You got to get into these stocks. I'm like, come on, man, that's for like rich people. I don't have no money for that. And over the time, he just kept saying, look, Armando, you got to get. And then I go to lunch, right, with everybody. And now all everybody is talking about stocks, all these older white men. I'm like, man, what are they talking about, man? I was like, man, when everybody's talking about something around you, there's only two things you could do. Either maybe, sometimes when everybody's talking about something, sometimes you got to go the opposite way. But in this case, if everybody's doing something, talking about something, you may need to look into it. You at least need to look into it. And then, it may not be for you and you move away. It would be against you to not look into it, not know what they're talking about. And then, you can move on. But so I said, man, I'm going to start looking this stuff up, man. So I started looking it up, and I finally, I researched whatever. And I finally said, I'm going to do my first trade, put like $5,000 into something, and it went way up. And then ever since then, I've been in love with stocks. But let's go back to what happened, right? Is that if it wasn't for tech, I never would have known about stocks. But tech put me into a different world that I never would have been in no way, shape, or form. Tech moved me from the projects, I went into projects in high school, I was actually in the country, and way out in the country somewhere. And it put me among these people who told me and pulled me along. Because sometimes, like we talk about, like people say, it's a cliche, but if you're in a group and everybody's above you, they're eventually going to pull you up. They're eventually going to pull you up knowledge-wise and financial-wise. It's just a matter of time. So, and you got to get in that group of people. And that's what tech did for me. It moved me from where I was at to where to where I am today. Right? That's what happened. It pulled me up to another level. That's where I am today is because of that first job and that first dude that took me under his wing. That one dude. And he probably was just talking, or he didn't even realize the impact he had on me. And like I said, I don't even know what happened to him. I wish I could find his number so I could thank him, because he changed my life, really. He was it's like two people that changed my life. Of course, my mom. I had a fifth grade teacher named Ms. Gasek. I wish I knew her too. She changed my life. She was one of the people who thought I would be something when everybody else said I would be nothing. And then the third thing, and he changed my life. And I had a teacher, and I did have a teacher at Austin Peay State University, Dr. McGrons. He's pretty influential too. So he's one of the top three people, right? And that's what changed my life. So I always try to tell you, man, you got to get tech is very important. At least understand it. At least like I said, we just made the example that if everybody's doing something, you at least got to look into it. You may not want to do it. It may not be for you, but at least look into it. So we got a question. Easiest way to learn coding without college. Now, if I could start all over and I wanted to learn coding, I would probably do a boot camp. one of those boot camps online or something, and make sure you get a good one. I would do something like that. Because I think you can learn, to be honest, I think you can learn coding. A university degree is good to have, 4-year degree, but like you can learn coding a lot easier by yourself. I mean, on your own or I just don't think that's you need a 4-year degree for that. I have a 4-year degree, but I don't think I needed it, because you gotta remember, in that 4-year degree, only 2 years was dedicated towards coding. The rest of it was English and history and stuff I really don't even use no more. So 2 years of that, you know, and another 2 years was for coding. So I could have got a 2-year degree and just didn't do anything else. I mean, I knew enough English. I knew enough history. I knew enough art. Why did I take art? Yeah, but I'm saying tech has a lot of opportunities, man. If somebody asks, you know, you need a degree. I mean, think about Apple. Think about a lot of these other companies. They don't talk about, they don't ask about degrees anymore. And that's even the federal government said that they no longer are asking for degrees for jobs, right? Apple no longer looks for it. I did a Google interview about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer. I didn't interview me for something. They never once asked me if I had a degree. All they asked me is it was online, and then I never actually went there, but it was online. And they only asked me, what can you do? And then they said, okay, so I want you to code this, and I'm gonna watch you. You don't really need degrees. Like I said, I had a tech company, and my best developer didn't even have a degree, and I paid him. He made good money. He could do whatever he wanted. I didn't care. As long as the dude did the job, why do I care where his degrees from? He was better than the ones that had degrees. He was better, more honest. He did his work better. Now I'm a front end or back end. I'm a full stack developer. That means from the whole stack, all the way down to the server. Front end, back end, all the way down. Server, down to the database. I'm a full stack developer. I could do everything, front end and back end. I'm an agnostic developer. No language. I could do any language I want because I know how the syntax works. So I could pick up any language that I need to. So I think that's what a lot of developers need to work towards, is being a full stack agnostic developer. All right, so I'll give you guys a few minutes to ask some questions, then we'll go ahead and end it for tonight. Remember, guys, that I got the classes. I got the value investing class to teach you how to buy undervalued stocks and options. That's this week. Next week, we got the order type class, which tells you how to do trailing stop orders, different order types to make sure you get as much profit as possible, but also limiting your risk. That class is next week. We got the $85 package with all the classes you need to get started. And we also got the mentorship program. We're having a round table tomorrow, which we discuss not only investing, but different ways to grow wealth. But also, you get access to all the classes, any new classes that's coming up, any live classes is coming up, and also all the old recorder, all the other recorded classes. So that's really the best. And you'll get access to the Discord when I created it. But so whatever the date is, I could be wrong. I don't know. Just look into whatever the date is in the platform. It may be Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, it's Wednesday. So I keep, what's today? Today's Monday. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is on Wednesday. It's the day after tomorrow. I'm sorry. I thought it was Tuesday. Yeah, it is on Wednesday. I got confused because you said tomorrow, and I thought, like, in my mind, I thought it was Tuesday for some reason. So it is on Wednesday. It's Wednesday. So, all right, guys, I hope you guys have a great night. If you have any questions, you want any links to any of the classes, just DM me. And I hope you have a great night.